May I have your attention, please? Bat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Joy Bodiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest and very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sadeva Shleibu Nabaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishleibu now entering the sanctuary. And now I'll present one of the sons of Yishleibu, Buffalo Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is The Curses of Not Teaching Our Children Properly. Let's first look at the law in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, page 152. It says, "And you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house, when you lie down, and when you rise up. When you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up." We have many examples in history that prove that without Yahweh's righteous priest and the righteous judgments of Yahweh, bad decisions can be made. For example, President Reagan invading Grenada in October of 1983. They called that Operation Urgent Fury. President Johnson invading South Vietnam in 1964. President Bush invading Afghanistan after the September 11 attacks in 2001. The displacement of the Japanese American citizens by President Franklin Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy's Operation Northwoods and Operation 40, and President Truman deciding to drop the atom bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6 and 9, 1945. In the 11th book of Yisro, part 2, chapter 18, verses 23 and 25, it says, "These kids were more able to procure weed or prescription drugs and four times more likely to smoke up." That's a pretty great study right there, and I believe if you go back to the way Samuel's mother raised him, you know, we made it easy for you. We got these things on tape where you can play it on a tape recorder. We got it where you can play it in a computer, on your television set, you know. Stick the disc in, turn it on, break the line that goes to the other crap you don't want. We got it so easy. You could play it day and night if you wanted to. It never stops coming from the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. It's a 24-hour thing if you want Samuels, you know, little Samuels, running around in your house. It's like the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Now, it won't work unless you use it. It doesn't just work automatically. You know, I was thinking, you know, the way Samuel was raised, Hannah wasn't twiddling her thumbs. "Hey, Samuel, go watch that television show. Hey, there's that new video game out. Well, why don't you go play it? Maybe you'll learn something." "Oh, finally, you're perfect." No, it came through her teaching day after day after day. Verse 25, praise Yahweh. Verse 25, "But on the teaching your children now, if you would, you know, you could teach the book of Yisrael straight from the television set or your computer. So that's the way to keep your children from going this other way. The Nimrod system that was set up by Cush, that was fathered by Cush. No, it wasn't his son. His children were given earlier in Genesis 10, verse 7 or 6, somewhere along there." Turn to Deuteronomy 31, 19. Page 174. Let's see what Yahweh told Moshe. Now this perfect law, therefore, is written for you. Teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, so that I have this perfect law bearing witness for those who reverence Yahweh. Yahweh told Moshe this, but it was not followed. He told him to teach the children of Israel, put the law in their mouth, and it was not followed, and now we see the end result. Today we see corrupt leaders and politicians, and when they're asked, what are you going to do for immigration or so-called terrorists? All they say is, we're going to build a giant wall, we're going to carpet bomb them. Or we need an army strong enough, and an army that people are afraid of so we can take them down. You know, we got to continue attacking them until they surrender. We got to block them off. We got to go send them to Guantanamo Bay. As if carpet bombing them, building walls, you know, sending them to Guantanamo Bay is going to help. It won't. Many leaders have tried to bring peace, but they didn't have the peaceful solution to show them their mistakes. So far, man's way hasn't worked. Neither do walls or bombs or prisons. We need Yahweh, and we need His laws. And that's the only way we're going to get peace. Praise Yahweh. Turn to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, let's look at verse 6, page 510. Train up a child in the way he should go, in the way he should go, in the laws of Yahweh. Not in the way that the world's teaching you to teach your children. If you taught your children the way the world was teaching you to teach your children, they are teaching their children in the way of war, and we see the end result, as we just saw with these people. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. World leaders, presidents, Supreme Court justices, all of you, if you want your answer, there is one. The answer is to repent and turn to Yahweh. That's the one and only answer. Come to the house of Yahweh, learn the laws of Yahweh. And with that, if you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the services over to Sonia Julie. For prayer.
Son of Yishalabel, Deacon Yaakov.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today my title is going to be on persecution will come to those who have the mark of Yahweh. Now remember, we went through sermons on what the mark of Yahweh is and how it starts with keeping the Sabbath. And the mark of Yahweh is keeping the laws of Yahweh. When you keep Yahweh's laws, you have the mark of Yahweh. You belong to Him. Now first, let's look at what occurred to the prophets and apostles. If you turn to Hebrews, Hebrews 11, starting at verse 23, it says, by the faith, when he was born, by the faith, Moshe, this is talking about Moshe here, it says, when he was born, was hidden 3 moons by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's decree. Now, the king's decree there, if we go to Exodus 1, that's found on page 45, Exodus 1, verse 17, it says, but the midwives had reverence for Yahweh and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but they let the male children live. Now, It says, "So the king of Egypt sent for the midwives and asked them, 'Why have you done this?' And allowed the male children to live. And the midwives answered Pharaoh and said, 'Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive.' So Yahweh was kind to the midwives, and he multiplied the people, so they became even more numerous. And because the midwives had reverence of Yahweh, Yahweh therefore gave families to them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born to the Hebrews you must throw into the river, but every daughter you shall let live.' So the Pharaoh's command was to kill all the male children." Now it says, back to Hebrews on page 950, it says, "By the faith, Moshe, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." So he wanted to be called by the name of Yahweh. Now, let's skip down to verse 33. It says, "Who through the faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned the armies of the aliens to flight." It says, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains of imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawed in two, were tested, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, cruelly treated." Now this is talking about persecution here. It says, "Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens of caves." Now it says, all of these having obtained a righteous report through the faith have not received the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us that they without us would not be made perfect." Now, so you see that the persecution there, that's Satan trying to stop the work of Yahweh. Now, Satan puts it in their mind that righteousness is evil. But if they were taught the way of righteousness, then they would appreciate it. They would appreciate the way of Yahweh if they were taught. Now, these people were protected by Yahweh, the prophets and apostles, because they had Yahweh's name, and they were sent by Yahweh. Now, we notice this persecution in the world today to any group of people who have righteousness, or who have a form of righteousness. If you remember, the FLDS, right here, they were all in the news. And I'll read a little of this article here. It says, El Dorado, Texas, as Julie Bolovich stepped out of her car here in the gates of the YFZ Ranch, a woman from the fundamentalist LDS church ran up and hugged her, crying softly. It was a huge court victory Thursday for the mothers of more than 450 children taken in the raid at the FLDS church. Sporling Ranch, Austin's third court of appeals ruled that Texas child welfare authorities acted improperly in removing the children and suggested that the FLDS belief system alone does not constitute abuse to children. It says, "This is huge," said Balovich, a lawyer for a group of FLDS mothers, smiling widely. It's exciting. This is a great day for families. So what had occurred? These people had a form of righteousness. You can see in this picture here, notice how they're dressed. You know, they have those morals. They dress modestly. Also, in this picture here, you can see how they're fully dressed. And that's one of the character traits in the peaceful solution, to dress modestly. Praise Yahweh. So they have this form of righteousness, but Satan tries to stop it. Now, also later on in the article, it says she was standing with William Krause, a parenting instructor from the House of Yahweh, which is another polygamous sect in Texas that has come under scrutiny by state officials. Criminal charges have been filed against members of that group, alleging that it is a cult. Now, so these people, Satan is attacking any form of righteousness. But we are the house of Yahweh. Remember, the gates of hell will not prevail against the house of Yahweh. Now, also, these people fled the Catholic Church in Europe due to the persecution, the religious persecution, in the 1600s. Now, I have a quote from the Israel Says program. It's from the first book of Israel, chapter 21, verse 44. It says, our ancestors who were being persecuted fled from that persecution because it was so severe. They risked their lives to get to this land over here on the other side of the ocean. They brought these buffalo with them for food. This is how they got their start. They were such hardy animals that lived off of them from then on. So we see they fled from the persecution to start colonies over here. Now, also, in this new prophetic word, February 2016, we see the people are fleeing the churches. And in the first page there, it says, people leaving the religions because scripture is denied. You see, the churches deny these scriptures. They don't want these laws being taught. They don't want Yahweh's laws being taught. It says religious leaders do not want to admit the real reason that people, young and old, are leaving their houses of God worship. As I've been told, the simple fact is the people are wising up and finally reading their Bibles instead of the catechisms of the Catholic Church and many other church pamphlets that teach contrary to the righteousness taught in the inspired writings of the apostles and prophets. Then later on it says, the only inspired books written by the prophets of Yahweh are proven to be the words of Yahweh, the creator of mankind. These books offer mankind the perfect way of life and peace, yet they are rejected by the Catholic Church and their predecessors, the Catholic Coptics in Egypt. Yahweh, who inspired the scriptures, is not one of their gods. And the Catholic Church is pushing aside Yahweh's laws. Now in Acts 7, verse 6, that's found on page 946, it says, but this man whose genealogy is not traced, this is talking about Melchizedek, it says, from Levi, receives tithes from Abraham and blessed him with him who had the promises. Now, remember, the promise was made to Abraham about the sojourners. If you go to Genesis 15, verse 13, Genesis 15, verse 13, it says, "Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land not their own, and they will be enslaved, and they will afflict them 400 years." And that word is number 1616. And you see here, this is from the interlinear, and it comes from 1616, and you see there a stranger, all right? Then also here, the definition is alien, aliens, foreigners, immigrants, sojourner, sojourns, stranger, strangers, and then strangers. Now, so remember, in 1600s, they left the Catholic Church. They left them. They left the Catholic Church in Europe and fled here. Now, also remember that we will be persecuted. Pastors told us we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. In the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 3, verse 45, it says, there was one word that was used to describe what I would suffer in these last days, and it was never used about anyone else in the writings of the Holy Scriptures. Yahweh chose one word to identify an Okie from Oklahoma who would be the ones to suffer, and he told you exactly what we would suffer right now. Can the persecution get any worse? Well, it may, but they're not going to stop this work. I can guarantee you that because the scriptures are very explicit on that they can't stop the work. All right? And then also some encouragement for us from the first book of Yisrael, chapter 18, verse 75. It says, in this case too, we must have tribulation. We must go through this great tribulation. But Yahweh will protect you in it. He will protect his work all the way through it. All you have to do is endure. That is, stay in the work. Don't run. Don't go backwards. Yahweh says, I have no pleasure in him who backs up. That is, turns back to sin. He says, you're like a dog lapping up your own vomit, or a pig after he is washed, turning back to this mud hole. Don't wallow in it again. So in conclusion, remember, we will suffer persecution. And in Matithia 5:10, that's found on page 731, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh. So remember, blessed are those who are persecuted. All right? That's all the time I have, so if y'all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the Great Khan Benjamin.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. We're going to continue on this theme of liberty that I spoke about last time I spoke, and picking up where the great son of Israel Abel just left off. You know, he mentioned in the 1600s, whom they called pilgrims. Actually, they didn't call them that. A certain man called them that in his writings. The first governor of Plymouth Colony, William Bradford. And he actually got that word from the scriptures because he knew it said that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And these people were real trying to follow. You know, these were Sabbath keepers, in case you didn't know. They were Sabbath keepers that fled here. Let me find my pictures here, okay, and my glasses. Let's turn over. First of all, let's all turn over to Daniel 5. Daniel 5. Daniel 5:12. Y'all remember Pastor's dream on 5:12? Well, let's look at Daniel 5:12. Because remember, Yahweh reveals the secret things, but he only reveals them in the house of Yahweh. Okay? And he's been pouring it out upon his people in these last days. It's on page 676, Daniel 5:12, and it reads, "For because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding was found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, for the interpreting of dreams, solving of riddles, and dark sayings, and dissolving of difficulties. Now may Daniel be summoned, and he will reveal the interpretation." Now remember, think of 5:12, think of Pastor's dream, and think of how Yahweh is going to show the interpretation of that dream, and that's what he's been doing all this time. He's given us the pieces of this puzzle. Now, look at, you all remember Pastor gave a sermon on 5:23. It was at the extended Feast of Pentecost last year, and he talked about this great gathering in Yeremia 23. You remember that he would gather the people from all the nations to the United States of America, the land, you know, where the house of Yahweh would be established in these last times. And that gathering's been taking place for quite some time. You know, it's not all at once, okay? It's been taking place all along. And you're going to see today in an amazing way how this all fits in. But let's look at 5:23. That was the date that Pastor had this dream. And this is Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, giving this interpretation. And he tells the king, "Instead, you have exalted yourself against Yahweh in heaven, and they have brought in the articles from his house before you, and you, your officials, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver, of gold, of bronze, of iron, wood, and stone, which see nothing, hear nothing, and know nothing. But Yahweh, in whose hand is your very breath, and to whom belongs all your ways, you have not glorified." I want to show you that. You remember Pastor said in 5:23 that Yahweh was in full control, right? Let me show you that. This is from other versions, you know, other translations. And I want you to notice the way it's written here. "But you have not glorified Yahweh, who has in his control your very breath and all your ways." Yahweh is in full control. You think Pastor's dream wasn't inspired? And Yahweh's going to interpret this, you know, as we go along. But keep these things in your mind. I left off last week showing you the definition of 1492 in Strong's, and we were talking about freedom and liberty, that theme, and showed you how 1492 actually meant, you know, to discover and such and such. What I want to show you now is in Strong's that 1492 occurs 319 times. What's today's date? It's 319, right? Keep that in your mind. Remember, everything that Yahweh does, he's in full control. And I mentioned to you about, you know, Liberia and how Pastor received the message from the man in Liberia, the family in Liberia that wants to come to the feast, and how Liberia means liberty, place of liberty. Now, and I did mention to you that a word called the Emancipation, or I mentioned the Emancipation Proclamation passed, and I told you that it was 1863, I believe, that it was first written up, but it was actually, if you look at this fact, the Emancipation Proclamation led the way to total abolition of slavery in the U.S., and that didn't occur The 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which abolished slavery in the U.S., was passed on December 6, 1865. And I showed you how 1865 in Strong's meant just that. It meant liberty, freedom, release. Okay? I wanted to get those in the record because I don't think I brought that last week to show you. Now, let's get in our mind the number 49. 49, okay? Now, I'm going to quote from, this is from the first book of Israel, okay? From sermon given 10-18-03. And this is pastor here. He says, "It is shown in the law." Remember, Daniel was a man of the law. He studied the law. He knew the law. He spoke the language of the law. If you spoke the language of the law, you would know this already. I would not have to explain it to you. He spoke the language of the law in Leviticus 25:8, "And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years." Do you see that? Or 7 times 7 Sabbaths. This is used throughout the law. He goes on to say in verse 145, "Years for yourself, 7 times, 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths a year shall be to you 49 years. See there how he adds that? He just is merely speaking the language of the law. The same as Daniel. Remember, Daniel was a student of the law of Yahweh, as all of us should be here today. All of us are students of the law, under the greatest teacher of the law on the face of this earth, right? Actually, the only teacher of the law on the face of the earth. There ain't no one out there teaching the laws of Yahweh, right? Okay, so verse 146, verse 9. "Then you have the trumpet of the Jubilee sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th moon." Now that should ring a bell. 10-7. 10-7. Revelation 10-7. Who is the Yahweh's trumpeter in these last days? It's Israel Hawkins. Remember, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show the people their sins so they can be set free from the bondage of corruption." Okay, now it says, this word here means to be complete. A completion or to be complete. To seven oneself. To complete oneself as the sacred full one. Sabbath, it means every Sabbath, not just Sabbath, but Sabbaths. Count every Sabbath to repose. That is part, this is part of this word, repose, desist, exertion. Make to rest, years of, a duplicate, so to speak. Like in Leviticus 25:8, it means years as a revolution of time, a whole. You can see this as biblical language. The word Daniel used here has both weeks and weeks of years. That is what the lexicon show that this is referring to. You know, it was talking about Daniel's, when he spoke about the 70 weeks are determined on your people in Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks of years. Okay, now, see where I'm going. Let me tell you about a man. His name was William Bradford. He was... He lived from 1590 to 1657. He was called an English separatist leader, and he was from Europe, Yorkshire, and he later moved to Holland, and he helped found the Plymouth colony here in the United States in the 1600s. Now, I'm going to tell you, just give you a few little excerpts from this. It says, "When Bradford was 12 years old, a young friend invited him to hear a Reverend Richard Clifton preached 10 miles away in All Saints Church in Babworth. Clifton was a minister who believed that the Church of England ought to institute strict reforms to eliminate all Roman Catholicism practices. Proponents believed this would result in a more pure Christian church. Bradford was inspired by Clifton's preachings, and even though he was forbidden by his uncle, Bradford continued to attend Clifton's sermons. Now, when King James I took the English throne in 1603, he declared he would put an end to church reform movements and deal harshly with radical critics of the Church of England. By 1607, secret meetings were being held at Scrooby Manor and about 50 reform-minded individuals began to celebrate the Sabbath. Now, this is not talking about Sunday. These were Seventh-day Sabbath keepers, led by Richard Clifton and Reverend John Robinson. This group decided that reform of the Church of England was hopeless, and they would sever all ties, and they became known as separatists. It says, when the Scrooby congregation decided in 1607 to leave England unlawfully for the Dutch Republic, where religious freedom was permitted, William Bradford determined to go with them. The group encountered several major setbacks in trying to leave England, most notably, listen to this, their betrayal by an English sea captain who had agreed to bring the congregation to the Netherlands, but instead turned them over to authorities. Okay, so, you know, they got on this boat thinking that they were going to be going to freedom, and this sea captain turned them in. Think about these things, how they can betray you. Now, moving on, it says, these passengers, now, that I'm skipping a lot of stuff because I got to, but they went on a boat called the Mayflower. I want you to keep that in your mind, very important. These passengers of the Mayflower, both separatists and non-separatists, are commonly referred to today as pilgrims. The term is derived from a passage in Bradford's journal written years later describing their departure from the Netherlands. Quote, with mutual embraces and many tears, they took their leaves of one another, which proved to be the last leave to many of them. But they knew they were pilgrims, and they looked not much on those things. In other words, they didn't care that they were leaving their homeland and their family. But they lifted their eyes to heaven, their dearest country, and quieted their spirits. And the Mayflower Compact was signed the day when they came, November 11th, 1620. The Mayflower Compact was signed that day, and Bradford was the first one to sign the Mayflower Compact. I don't want to get in too much more, but this man is very important. He was known as a son of liberty. I think I have something on that, but he was one of the original sons of liberty, they called him. Now he died. This is very important for us to get, because he died in 1657. Right here. He died May 9th, 1657, age 67. So what does all this, you know, mean? What does all this have to do? By the way, I did want to get this on the record, too, that Abraham Lincoln, the one that wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, was the 16th president. 16. Think of 16, 2016. Remember the great deacon just got up here and told you, sojourners meant 1616. They were going to be sojourners in a strange land, or, you know, in bondage 400 years, and that word was 1616 in the Hebrew. So this number 16 is very, very important. Okay, so he died May 9th, 1957. And by the way, his wife was named Dorothy May. Dorothy May. Now, let's move ahead. Let's move way ahead to this woman right here. This is Pastor's mother, Maggie May Hawkins. Notice her birth date was July 7th, 1906. And she passed on February 20th, 1956. Okay? These are stones that you can find out in the peaceful display. In fact, I was sitting down there looking at it and I thought, wait a minute, those two dates right there are very significant in the life of Israel Hawkins. Because we all remember 7-7 was the day that Pastor had his gold flake dream, right? 7-7. And February 20th was the day that Pastor was released from prison. Y'all remember that? Because just on 220 a few weeks ago, I spoke about that very thing. Okay? So now, how does this all tie in? And by the way, right next to her stone there is this stone, which is Vernon, the brother that named Pastor when he was 1 year old. Let's turn over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Remember, we keep on this theme of the number 49 and what it means. Seven Sabbaths. Remember this, counting the seven Sabbaths of years. Isaiah 49. And let's look at verse 1 on page 561. It says, "Listen, O isles, countries, to me. Listen, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name." And the bowels of his mother was his brother Vernon, okay, that named him when he was 1 year old. Pastor's told about that so many times. Also look verse 3. "And he said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified.'" Verse 5. "And now Yahweh says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring the people of Jacob back to him, because the descendants of Israel are not yet gathered. I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my father is my strength. And he said, 'It is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected of Israel.'" That's you. That's us. "I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, so you be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Okay, now, I don't want to skip anything. Her birth date was, she was born on Saturday, July 7th, 1906, and she died on Monday, February 20th, 1956. That's 49 years, 7 months, and 13 days, exactly. Those numbers should ring a bell, right? You remember 49, she was born on 7-7. And what is 7-7? Is it not 49? February 20th was a great day of liberty when Pastor was released from prison, right? Also, 7 months and 13 days, 7-13. Anybody remember that? 7-13 means purple. And that's going to tie into something here in a minute. But it also, 7-13 in the, let's see if it's the Greek or the Hebrew. 7-13 in the Hebrew means purple. That's right here, as you can see. Remember the purple blossoms the pastor spoke about in the song? But 7-13 in the Greek, it's architos, and it means sufficient, enough, sufficient. And it's from this word here, archeo. And it means to assist or suffice, meaning satisfied or enough. And it's from this word right here, aero, A-I-R-O. If you all remember, that's number 142, right here, Greek aero, means I raise, lift up, raise, lift up, take away. And it ties into this one right here. Remember NASA? Remember 7613 and NASA down there at the peaceful scene? Remember all those things that were brought out? This all ties in with his mother as well. Okay, now, Let me show you a little something here. I did a little math here. Now, remember, William Bradford died in 1657, correct? One of the Sons of Liberty, the Pilgrim. If you add 50 years, you get 1707. If you add 50 more years, you get 1757. 1757 and 50 is 1807. 1807 and 50 is 1857. And 1857 and 49 is 1906. Well, who was born in 1906? Right here. Maggie Mae Hawkins. Okay? Now, am I saying that that was a jubilee year that year? No. It proves that she's a daughter of liberty. She's a daughter of liberty because the 49. Just think of the theme of the 49, okay? 1906. Okay, now, Let's turn over to, at this point, let's turn over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1. And that's on page 916. And I want to show you this fact about the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is the 49th book in your scriptures. It's the 49th book. Remember, we're talking about the theme of the 49. Ephesians 1, look at verse 3. It says, the plan of Yahweh. Remember, nothing is done outside of the plan of Yahweh. It says, blessed be Yahweh. This is the Apostle Shaul. Blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings of the heavens in the Messiah, because he chose us with him before the foundation of the world, that we were to be holy and without blame before him in love, preordaining us to be his children by adoption through Yahshua Messiah, according to the righteous pleasure of his plan, to the praise of his glorious love, which he has honored us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption. Remember, your redemption draws near. Luke 21, 28. Oh, what does 21 and 28 add up to? 49. And he said, when you see these things, know your redemption is near. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his pardon, which he made to us, abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having revealed to us the great secret of his plan. Yes, he is revealing that to us in these last days, house of Yahweh. Everyone sitting here and you out there that are watching, that are tuned in at this time. According to his righteous pleasure, which he has purposed to himself. Now get this. For the administration of his house at the completed time. The completed time. 7-7. Remember what Daniel said. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. To gather together in one to himself under one head, the Messiah, both the things which are yet in the heavens and the things also for the earth in him, in whom also we are allotted an inheritance, being preordained as he set forth, as all things work according to the purpose of his plan. Nothing is done outside of Yahweh's plan. Yahweh is in full control. Daniel 5:23, remember? Okay, now, with that in mind, remember Ephesians is the 49th book. Now, the gathering. Because, you know, all these things that Yahweh's been showing us, you know, a lot of it has to do with this great gathering. She died on 2:20. And if you remember on 2:20, I gave you these definitions already. But we're going to go over them again. 2:20 means stall. A stall. You know, like the calves that are released from the stall. A stall is a place that you know, herd animals into. And it's from this word here, erva. It means a stall or a coat. Coat. Not a coat you wear, but a coat. The Sons of Israel Abel will appreciate this because they were asked the other day what a coat was. So, now you know, a coat is a stall. And it's from erva, 7:23, and it means stall in the sense of feeding, a herding place for an animal. A stall. And it's from this word right here, ara. And notice, it's word number 717, and it means gathered. 717, gathered. You've heard a lot about that number, 717. In the February issue of the Prophetic Word magazine this year, February 2016, pastor's telling us that people are leaving their religions because Scripture is denied. And that's why William Bradford and the Pilgrims fled the Church of England and the Catholic Church, because they weren't teaching Scripture. They knew it. They knew that what they were reading in their Bibles did not match what they were hearing. And at the risk of their lives, you know, they kept the Sabbath and they kept other, laws from the Bible that the best they knew how. Remember, they didn't have a house of Yahweh at that time, did they? Okay, but you have to remember, think of all the persecution that went down and how these men and these women gave up their lives so that we could have a book of Yahweh today. that King James Bible could be delivered, and then Pastor would bring this forth, this King James, or this Book of Yahweh in these last days. Now, on page 13 of that same prophetic word, Pastor talks about this gathering. And if you'll notice, he quotes Revelation 7, 1 through 17, because Revelation 7, 1 through 17, or 7, 17, is all about this gathering. This great gathering that's been taking place for years, okay? That Yahweh's been bringing them here to the United States of America. All this immigration that's going on, this is a great blessing, you know, that the people are being allowed to come here, because eventually, where are they coming? They're coming here, to this place right here, okay? Yahweh's been setting this thing up this whole time. Okay, now, let me think where I'm going. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Pastor. All right, we're talking about his mother. Oh, I cannot forget this. I think I might have skipped it, but I want to talk to you about, let's see. I want to show you something about his mother's name. Her name is Maggie, but it's Maggie is, if you can see here, Maggie is a form of Margaret, okay? It's like a nickname for Margaret. I want you to notice what it means. It means pearl, but it also means cluster of blossoms. Now this should really interest you right here. Notice the name day for that name, Maggie. 5/23. 5/23, wasn't that the day Pastor had his dream that Yahweh showed him? He's in full control, House of Yahweh. That's the name day for Maggie. Oh, there it is. I wanted to show you this, that William Bradford, he was an early member of the Sons of Liberty. The Sons of Liberty, okay? I don't have time to get into who they were right now, but now I want to show you something amazing about Pastor here, using the new numbering system. That's not saying A, like, you know, that's saying after Yahshua, okay? In case somebody thought my spelling was messed up. So when the temple was destroyed, you know, in the house of Yahweh was destroyed in 70 AY, or what they called the temple in Jerusalem, if you add 1864 years to that date, you get 1934. So what's the significance of that number to us? Well, I'll show you if I can get back up to it. Give me a second. Sometimes I lose my place and I'm... Oh, here it is. Here it is. 1864. This won't mean much to you when you first see it. 1864, it means south. Sorry. Get that back up for you. And it's from this word here. D-E-R-O-R. Deror. Which is, by the way, this word right here. 1865. Another son of liberty. Yisrael Hawkins. Another son of liberty. Look at this. Could this be an accident? No, it's not. Yahweh is in full control, and he's showing you who the true sons of liberty are. Okay, the daughters and sons of liberty, Maggie Mae Hawkins and Yisrael Hawkins. Now, here's an interesting fact about the number 49. Because the house of Yahweh established 49 years after Pastor's birth. Notice that? Coincidence? Well, let me give you another one. Here's another amazing coincidence. Pastor has been preaching in Abilene, the gathering place now, since 1967. Which is how many years, House of Yahweh? Let's all say it together. 49. Uh-oh. Hope I don't get in trouble for yelling at that thing. Hope I don't blow it up. 49, House of Yahweh. What could this mean? Must be just be an, all this must be a coincidence, I think, man. Speaking of 319, the other day in Laredo on 319 p.m., I spotted this, as you can see. Let's see. Sometimes these things just don't cooperate. Let me turn it this way. How do I turn it to get it to... There it is. This was on March 7th at 3:19 p.m. I'm trying to get that in for you. Let me zoom in on it. There it is. You see that? At 3:19 p.m. on March 7th, remember today is 3:19, right? This bus came along. Remember the 1,142 super confessors? The prosecutors, the persecutors? And I want you to notice where this bus was heading. Oh man, I don't have it. It was heading to Guadalupe Street and Villa del Sol, okay, in Laredo there. So I looked it up to see, you know, the gematria of this thing. And of course, it had to be this number right here, right? 211, which is reducing to ashes. And Guadalupe means river of the wolf. There she is. There's the wolf. There's the wolf. Now, is anybody here afraid of the big bad wolf? You have nothing to fear if you're keeping Yahweh's laws, right? That's right. We have nothing to fear if we're keeping Yahweh's laws. By the way, the other night when I was, I had to stay up quite late because I'm working on this sermon here. And, it's very perplexing at times. You know, I know I had less hair this week than I had last week. So Yahweh's got less to worry about because he knows every hair on your head, right, House of Yahweh? Well, when I laid down to go to sleep, that's what time it was. That's not Friday 3:19 in the afternoon. That's 3:19 a.m. Right when I laid my head on my pillow, I looked at my iPhone just to kind of see what time it was right before I went to sleep, and boom, 3:19. Now, is Yahweh not in full control? Okay, Yahweh is in full control of this situation. We have nothing to fear, House of Yahweh. Yahweh is in full control. Yahweh loves you. Keep up the great work that you're doing. Let's remember this theme of the 49, and let's be a blessing to the greatest teacher in the world, one of the great Son of Liberty. Okay, and at this time, I'd like to turn it over to you. It's been a blessing speaking. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, last week we talked about how these drugs that are being prescribed by doctors are killing patients. And of course, that's bad for business. So CDC came out this week and they're trying to ask doctors, or they're trying to push doctors to prescribe alternative drugs other than these opiates that are killing 40 people a day and leading to heroin addiction. And notice that they don't say it, but of course, medical marijuana is on the rise, and that's the better drug. It decreases learning. It helps you be a little bit I guess I could say dumber than what you were before you took it. And it's not to say that people are dumb, but they're uneducated. They don't understand what's taking place. So it's uneducated, and it reduces your ability to understand what's taking place with you. And then following up, of course, in Newark, New Jersey, there's articles coming out now where the schools, and there are many schools, thousands of students being affected, that they're finding lead in the water. And if you remember Flint, Michigan, Of course, they're finding lead in the water there, and that reduces one's ability to learn. It slows down that ability, just like medical marijuana. And remember, now that's children we're dealing with. And what better way to try to combat the house of Yahweh in teaching people than to reduce their ability to learn, to slow down that learning capacity? Well, they talk about these schools and the lead that's coming out in the water in these schools, and they're only talking about the schools. And it kind of makes you wonder, well, what occurs to all the water that comes through the pipes that go to all the other houses in those cities? Are they not coming from the same place? And they lose the point that it's recycled sewer to begin with. You know, so go figure. What they're putting in their mind is to slow the learning down. And then we show some articles about the Trump rallies taking place. Now, this isn't necessarily a pitch at Donald Trump or anything to do with Donald Trump. It's more the violence that is taking place in presidential campaigns right now. And this endorsement of violence, but not just Donald Trump by what he's saying, but people in general. I mean, you have punches being thrown. You have a lot of things taking place that's getting to an all-time level. And they're saying that it's violence like we've never seen before. And these are at rallies to the point to where they're doubling security and counseling rallies because of these things. And then cops this week, one cop was shot, it's last week actually, was shot with what they call friendly fire. Three guys show up to shoot up the police station, and while one person does it, two people record them on their phone, and who gets shot and killed in the end? Well, it's a cop that gets shot by other cops. You can see how everybody is kind of scared for their life right now because there's no rules and regulations to govern these things. And then just down the interstate in Fort Worth, a cop was caught on video spraying a group of motorcycle riders as they were going down the street. He literally is spraying pepper spray out in the street, and could you imagine going down the interstate if any of these had got it in their eyes and one falls over, what would have occurred or have occurred to the others? You know, it could have been very devastating, but those things aren't even being considered. And then a six-year-old in Georgia, now of course he was just at a birthday party enjoying himself. You know, what better way to spend a day than a birthday party? Out on a bike, and he's riding around in the apartment complex he lives in. You know, 6 years old, what could possibly go wrong? Well, of course, somebody comes up and shoots him in the chest with a .22. Now, imagine how much the love of many has to grow cold to just walk up and shoot a six-year-old in the chest. Now, we say this, and of course, this was in Georgia, but we're seeing this all around the world, and we're seeing even governmental leaders. We've seen much film where dead babies, dead children all around the world, whether they're washing up on seashores, whether they're dying from chemical attacks, whether it's bombs. You know, so how is this one any worse than all the rest? Well, this young man actually lived. It didn't kill him, but he's left to live with a bullet and a shattered rib. And then, of course, 800,000 barrels of oil have disappeared. No one knows where it's at. The IEA is saying that China most likely has it because China is not a member of the International Environmental Agency. So China doesn't report what they do with their oil, nor do they feel they have to. But, of course, China is getting the blame for this 800,000 barrels of oil disappearing. And there'll be much more to build on that, you can guarantee with that. Then North Korea also, once again, weekly promised to nuke something. They're promising to nuke New York now and saying that they can wipe it off the map. And, of course, they're still pushing it. And then we go to Syria, and Russia very surprisingly pulled out their troops, and they're still pulling them out from Syria. And it'll be interesting to see why they pulled them out, because President Putin has said that we can reinstate them, we can put them back there in a matter of hours if needed be. Makes you wonder if more people than just one is preparing for nuclear war. If you know it's coming, you better get your people out. Then Kerry, of course, John Kerry is saying this Daesh or ISIL or whatever they want to call this force that they're fighting against over in the Middle East that they're calling ISIL mostly. They're saying that it's now leading to genocide because they're trying to kill Christians and Kurds, and it's something that we have to act on. And it makes you wonder, well, what have we been doing for the last 16 years? I thought that's what we were doing. We're acting on it. Well, of course, more needs to be done. And you have the UN coming behind that. Remember, the United States wanted Assad removed from the leadership of Syria. The UN has come in and said, within the next 18 months, we need to have elections in Syria, and this is how the new government will operate. Well, if you're going to have elections, don't you think the former government may win? but that's not even addressed. They're already planning for the new government. So it's the same mindset of remove Assad. And remember, it played a lot to play with the petrodollar concerning that, and there'll be more to come on that. And then the United States, of course, the Republican, are calling for tougher sanctions on Iran due to this ballistic missile testing. They're pushing for greater sanctions. Now, remember, the Republicans didn't even agree that sanctions or this agreement should even exist. And now they're saying we should use this agreement to come against them. And then dividing Jerusalem. This is still something that's being pushed. And remember, the wall that divides in Jerusalem that we're talking about with the temple and of course, the Dome of the Rock, that is not a wall as much as it is the temple wall. It's the temple that's dividing that. And they're pushing for a division. This is becoming a greater conversation to put a division between Muslims and Jews. And of course, we know that the temple will be rebuilt. And then the Vatican Bank, the most corrupt place on the face of this earth, when it comes to dealing with money, a gentleman explains how corrupt it actually is, how it does money, how it kind of coerces money, and how they answer to no one, and how they're kind of, the money is kind of embezzled. It's offshore accounts. If you don't want to pay taxes, it's the perfect place to put your money. You can put billions there, and he goes in to say that there's billions in it, but no one actually knows how many billions are in it because they don't have to answer to anyone, but the Catholic Church is very, very wealthy. He also goes in to explain how the Catholic Church is set up to where if you're raped as a young child and you later want to sue them, that you can sue the diocese, whether it be New York, Philadelphia, or as in California, so forth. You can sue that diocese, but you cannot sue the Catholic Church because you would have to sue the Pope. And of course, he is a sovereign leader. You cannot sue a sovereign leader. So therefore, he cannot be held accountable, nor can the Vatican be held accountable. And this pedophilia, there's an article that came out where 50 priests have been caught for the last 40 years molesting children in Pennsylvania. And it always amazes me that when they show this in the news media, that more pedophilia in the Catholic Church, it's like they go to the ocean and they're surprised they see water. If you go to the Catholic Church, you're going to see pedophilia. That's what they do. They know they're doing it. They're not trying to stop it. Notice what it closes with. There's an article that come out, and this is by Rome, the Vatican's own media correspondents. They're the ones that put this out. And listen to what it says. It says it multiple times how the Pope does not address problems through laws, but he addresses them through hugs and smiles. Hugs and smiles. And that leads to years of pedophilia. But there's no addressing the problem. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yezra, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Wow, we got a crowd here today. Are you with me? Come on. Come on. Let's go. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's snake season, I'm told. So be sure and watch for snakes. We do have them in this territory. I would I could borrow them from the grounds, but they're here for a purpose, I'm sure. All over this area, and we've seen some. And not all poisonous, but we've seen some. The stuff that Yahweh is bringing you on these numbers, you know, everyone was surprised as so much stuff is being brought out about my mother. But if you just think about it, the women, you know, Abraham's wife, was brought out big time in Scripture. So was Moshe's mother that took care of the first gathering. And, of course, I brought out years ago that was my mother that was spoken of. Yahshua's mother and my mother are both spoken of in chapter 12 of Revelation. But now these numbers is bringing this out. After Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins got through there this morning, I gave him these other numbers from the, I don't know if you've heard,
It was being announced this morning on the news that two comets will pass by. You will be able to see them Monday, from what I understand, but these are emerald green. And I don't know of any that's ever been shown like that before, but it's two of them. And the number is 552. I've already given this to some of the workers that's working on numbers. It has some letters to go with it, but 552 in Hebrew means brothers, and it has some, like another sibling, brother, then another sibling, and she bare another and named him Abel, and of course that's the last day's Abel. And then in Greek it means salt. That should mean a lot to you too, but that word salt actually means believers, and Yeshua used it of their character and condition, of wisdom exhibited in their speech, meaning teachers, brothers being teachers, fidelity, friendship, covenant between Yahweh and man, his people. And the scriptures was Numbers 18, was one I remember. But when I saw that this morning, I said, this has got to be, you know, the emerald green. And, of course, that's what we're wearing. Yahweh inspired us to wear this year with the colors. Praise Yahweh that he showed us in the rainbow. One comet to sever closer to the earth than any other comet in centuries. They don't have any record of any others in century that has gotten this close. An emerald green comet will brush the earth Monday, following one day later by a kissing cousin that will sever closer to the planet than any other comet in nearly 250 years, at least since they started keeping record. The first and bigger of the two comets will be visible Monday to the naked eye in the southern hemisphere, as long as city lights don't interfere. This is one for the record books, it says. It's a fantastic chance to see part of history as it takes place. Bright green color, 252P, wasn't expected to get terribly bright, but it has been surpassing all expectations. That means BA14 and its larger companion are among the closest comets to pass by Earth in recorded history. So it's some things are taking place in the sky, and then the numbers that go with them is fantastic also. There's one of these that had to do with 1983. 1983 was the last comet that passed by. In 1983, even the date there, February 24, I believe, has great meaning. And I don't know if I have it down here, but it has great meaning to it. And I'm just giving you the skim off the top of the surface here. But 1983 was the year that the house of Yahweh was officially established. 24 from an unused root, meaning to be tender green. Praise Yahweh. Tender green. A young ear of grain. Hence the name of a month, Abib and Nisan. Abib and the ear, green ears of corn, barley. The comet 1983, I think that's all I wanted to cover. The rest of this goes on and on and on, and we need to put it all together and then put it in a, like our people are doing that we have working on the numbers. The next president, they say, I don't think there'll be another one, but the next president is going to inherit a Middle East in flames, and this is the way the article put it. And of course, we knew that was taking place and going to take place long before it started taking place. It was, in fact, I wrote it in the book, The Mark of the Beast, back in the 70s, and showed where the wars would begin, and also showed how they would end. China, Russia planning space attacks on the U.S. satellites. That's your sky wars that we also brought out in sermon that's going to take place. Commercial satellite industry sees growing U.S. military demand. They're using it for war and going to use it for war. Their plans are to use everything for war. There's nothing being planned for peace. Infectious diseases, infections that can lead to cancer. In fact, what I've read so far shows about 6 out of 7 diseases, such as cancer, leukemia, and everything else, 6 out of 7 of these come from STDs. And the others relate to it, you know. The STDs is causing the others to take parts of your body and breed infections inside your body. We should all be insisting on Yahweh's laws now and guiding our lives to the perfect person that Yahweh shows in the Holy Scriptures. Don't yield at all to sin. Don't even get it out of your mind. Get it out of your thoughts. Praise Yahweh. Watching TV is one of the worst things you can do that I know of. I even hate to watch the news anymore because of the Hollywood minutes that they flash on the screens to try to turn your head. Get your thoughts to going back the way Cain's was. And, of course, that's what's leading to the wars and fighting also. The birth defects, 8 million annually. 8 million. It's hard to imagine what a million is, and here we have 8 million of these annually now. Birth defects. Yes, we're killing our children before they were born. Deuteronomy 28 shows, our seed are cursed before they're ever born, and goes down to the third and fourth generations. Of course, now it never even stops. See, because everyone keeps adding to the witch's concoction. But there's the article I was hunting. Cancer caused by infections. Unequal burdens, it says. Many people are surprised to learn that cancer can be caused by an infection. There are 7 major infection agents, and 6 of them causes cancer. 6 out of the 7 causes cancer and other, like diabetes and Alzheimer's and so forth. Drug-resistant chlamydia, that was one that I told you on the old stage many years ago was going to be extremely dangerous. Well, now they know it. Chlamydia bacteria, also linked to trachoma, world's leading infectious cause of blindness. And, of course, Alzheimer's disease. That's what the world is facing right now. Don't be a part of that junk pile out there, brethren. Don't let your hearts or minds sway at all. Random risk factor of type 2, diabetes, a history of STDs. It's coming from the STD. Now, I told you this before the scientists did, because I saw it in the scriptures. And of course, the biggest addition to this, of course, is the sodomy that Yahweh showed, this profaneness, which is an evil of the gods, profaneness, which is also defilement of the body and land. It comes from STDs and starts with sodomy. How STDs can increase your risk of diabetes. Past chlamydia infections make type 2 diabetes 82% more likely. So children are being born with diabetes right now because they already had chlamydia and the parents had it. Herpes, chlamydia could cause Alzheimer's disease, expert says. Well, of course, that's the world, and that's what we're trying to get out of. It's a hard thing. You know, we have a uphill battle, which is going to be our pleasure, but because we're going to win the battle. But it's so hard to teach, you know, with to bring the world to see this. What you have in your minds now has been the work of 40 years. You know, the establishment of the house of Yahweh was in 1983, and that was exactly 33 years ago. 33. That number 33 has a meaning. And of course, here comes the comets 33 years later, two of them. And it's showing us the hard job we have. I mean, it's not an easy thing that Yahweh has put in front of us, but we are going to do it. And we are turning people right now. But if people started doing research right now and trying to find their way to even find out about the house of Yahweh, they'd have to go through gobs of manure that the Catholic Church has laid out for them to stumble into. And even today they're making shows for where, what I understand, and using profane words, on the History Channel to describe me. They used a lot worse than that when they arrested me for teaching Yahweh's way and teaching against the segregation of people and trying to get people to understand that they're all from Adam and Eve. They're all brothers and sisters. Of course, that's what that word means, too. means brothers, friends, friendship, congregation. But this is one of the things we didn't just preach, you know, we lived it. And much hatred built up against the house of Yahweh for it. And of course, it doesn't bother me what they're saying. I don't, the words that they call me is fine. Their crowns, their stars in my crown. And I'm very pleased with it. And I love you. I would love you if you were green like that emerald, too. Don't make me any difference what color you are. It's your character that I'm striving to build. But it's hard to teach the scriptures totally, too, because first off, the Catholic Church took the scriptures away. I would that David would hear me and bring a copy of that scripture that we solved this week. I'd like to read it to you, but it's about the Holy Ghost in the King James Version. You remember Casper, the friendly ghost, and that the King James Version put in there along with Halloween and you know, memorials to the dead. Well, that's all in your Bible, your Bibles. And when I saw that here a few days ago, and Benya had sent me a note and saying, "Is this right?" And, well, I knew it wasn't, but I thought we already had it solved. And then we went to work on it again. And lo and behold, they left out the word Abel, as they normally do. And the work that's going on here in these last days, they left it out of that scripture. And but if you had the scriptures that was word for word translated into English, or even phrase by phrase, you know, it would show the deception of the Catholic Church. And a person could read it and understand it, and you know, and you'd readily know that there's a big difference between Yahweh and his house, and Satan and the house of the gods. And but when a person starts studying today, if you just had the King James Version, and you started studying, and you saw all this propaganda against the house. You have to go a long ways to find it now, but it was, we're way outweighing them now. We're, the Google has put us up at the top. Actually, you have to go through a lot of truth before you get to the hogwash. The hogs that was washed and turned back to their own vomit, as Kefa said. But you think about that. If you just started out with the King James Version today, there would be no way you could find Yahweh. And then and Yahweh allowed them to totally hide the book of Yahweh for 1,500 years. And then when it was authorized, it was only authorized with deception. It took years and years of study. And of course, that was... That the foundation of that was laid by my mother and dad, who I knew were righteous people. They weren't the ordinary people I met out in the world, and they were righteous people, and they taught their children to be righteous as much as they knew at that time, and of course that laid the foundation for the house of Yahweh today, and it brought forth the man that Yahweh is speaking of today, of the two witnesses. And that work had to be done, and it's here. Praise Yahweh. And it's established just as Yahweh said it would be. And then, you know, they would read, as they do today, Revelations 12:9, that Satan has the whole world deceived, and they probably wouldn't even waste much time with it if they were just starting right now. So they would. There's no way they would find Yahweh. And right now, the whole world is turned against the house of Yahweh. We're the most hated of any group, so that makes it harder, even still yet harder. We have a few people. And Yahweh, if you noticed in the history of his works, he'd say, "Well, I don't need this many people." And one time he said, "Everybody that drinks with their hands, well, you know, I'll take those and discard all that 90% more out there. Just give me that few. That's all I want to show my glory." Well, he's cut us down even more than that. And said 3 out of 4 is going to leave your organization. So, and that's what's been taking place. But he says you're still going to have the biggest number at the end of this thing, much greater than Moshe. And I believe it. And we're starting to see sounds of the sea gather now. We're starting to see that the word is reaching them in all parts of the earth, and we're getting invitations and getting applications, people wanting applications. But the truth, too, you know, they've taken Christian men like Appleby and Jim Jones, who I told you his son, I think we found out it's his grandson that called wanting to come to the house. But Jimmy Jones, who was Christian, Appleby or Apple Pie or whatever his name was, who they may have killed him, you know, they may have murdered him and his crew. You really don't know. Masons have a great way of murdering people and keeping it secret or hiding it and making it look like he was carried to Mars or something, disappeared. But this has gone on for years, and 60 Minutes run shows on it, showing the murders that they committed. It's amazing the amount of people, and they said they did it all in the name of Jesus. Well, that's and of course with that propaganda. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
16:17 and 1 Thessalonians 2:9.
Okay. Thank you.
There's two of them.
If you turn over to in your scriptures to Matthew, yes, Matthew 3:16 and 17. Now, David will be bringing this out during the feast, Yahweh willing. But I want to show you how the renditions of the book of Yahweh that I grew up on. I saw things that intrigued me, especially the prophecies, and I saw them come true in my lifetime. So, you know, and I knew that no man could do this. No man can predict the future and bring it to pass. And of course, I was born with the first nuclear bombs, the first mass bombs of mass destruction, you know, and I was old enough to see what that did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So, these prophecies, all I've seen them come to pass one by one, and I had a special interest for that. But if everyone's got this in Matthew 3:16 and 17, it says, "And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up immediately out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open to him, and he perceived by a revelation the Spirit of Yahweh descending like a dove and entering into him. Then lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, this is a better translation than the King James Version, which is altogether as bad as Casper the Friendly Ghost that they're displaying. And I don't want to take time to read you the word for word here and what the authorities say, but the authorities actually come out and say they really screwed this one up, you know, and they did it deliberately. It had to been done deliberately. But here's the true translation of that scripture. "And Yahshua, when he was baptized, went up immediately out of the water, and lo, the heavens and the earth, the work of Yahweh, the message of Yahweh, the universe, all that was Yahweh's, was opened unto him at Abel." Made known unto him at Abel. "And he perceived that the word of Yahweh, for Yahweh loved him, had come to him. And in that place at Abel, the word of Yahweh came to the called out one, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You can see that, but think of now a beginner and in this work. And that's the reason, too, you get to have patience with people on their first time to get here. They know a little, but they don't know nearly as much as you do. And so, and it takes time to grow spiritually. 2 Kefa 2:9, the way it it reads in right now, Yahweh knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation, trials, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. And of course, Yahweh don't punish anyone. He lets them correct themselves, and I don't know what the thousands of scriptures, or hundreds of them anyway, that we have corrected, and through the authority, of course, of the authority of books. But the reading, that true reading, is Yahweh knows how to deliver the Yahweh knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptations, trials, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to carry out judgment upon them in their sin, for their sins. Well, of course, we got the job of doing this. Truth right now is still evil spoken of, as it says in Isaiah 59:15. History is filled with lies also. There was three different histories that I read. There was a lot more than that, but three different histories that I read concerning Titus, Vespasian, and the temple being destroyed, the times of the year that were, in disagreement and so forth. And of course, the truth was that Titus, had it all planned for the people to come to Jerusalem to keep the feast, and it was the feast dwellers, the feast people who were trying to keep the feast that they wanted to slaughter, because those were the ones that was causing trouble, causing the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians trouble, who did not want to keep the feast to begin with. And of course, they didn't want any of Yahweh's laws abided by, and they were trying to stop it. They'd already killed Yahshua and Yochanan. Yochanan, for mentioning the fact that one of them in high ranks was committing adultery with his brother's wife. And of course, they cut off his head, had him arrested immediately. Arrested by their police force. Well, what was that police force? It was the Roman army. The Roman army, the chief priest in Acts 7, throughout the whole book of Acts, shows you that the Roman army was used by the chief priest. They gave them their orders. The apostle Shaul was a Roman soldier. And Yahweh puts this in bits and pieces. Now, you never would find this. You never would. But if you're looking for it and someone says it's there, then when you read the book of Acts, you'll see it. But Yahweh deliberately put it in the book of Acts that the apostle Shaul, who had never been to Rome, never been to Rome, read his history. Just look his word, look his name up and read it in history. He had never been to Rome, yet he was a Roman soldier of top rank. He was also a Pharisee. He didn't train to be an army officer in Rome. He trained in Jerusalem. And his chief teacher was the chief priest of the Pharisees, Gamaliel. Look his name up. the way the Roman Catholic Church wants to paint it is that the Roman army, they were just here, it's decided to come to Jerusalem to help them straighten out their affairs. And they were having trouble with different groups. Why did they come there to begin with? And the apostle Shaul, see, he was a Pharisee. But he was a top Roman soldier. And he was a citizen also of Rome. Never had been there, wasn't born there, no, he was born in Tarsus. All of that history is about him in Acts, but a Christian can never see it. They read right over all these things. The Roman army was created by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians when they were still called the tribes of Jacob or the elders of Israel. These were the same ones that rose up against Samuel in his day and shown to you in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. And Yahweh said, they're the same as they were when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. They brought their God worship with them, and they've been practicing this God worship all this time. And let them go their way. They want kings. Let them have kings. Well, the kings is what they used to go out, build the armies, capture the people, bring them captive to that king, train them to be part of Babylon or Rome. And of course, they built them a big army. It was shown in Daniel exactly what they would build. It wasn't talking about a strange group of blacks or whites or greens or reds somewhere that nobody knew where they came from. Except, now here's the stupidity that's shown in history. They probably came over the mountains there. It's probably two brothers that was born that one of the gods cast down to earth, and some wolf came along and nursed them to adults. And one killed the other one. Now this is the stupidity that people will fall for over this knowledge here that foretells the future, gives you absolutely perfect laws to live by. But they cast this aside. They cast the book of Yahweh aside. And they had such an extreme hatred for this book. If you read the history of the Bible and the printers that actually put this thing out, one pope was so angry because this got out to the public that he went and dug the bones up of one of the printers, had it dug up by his police officers, his municipal courts, had them dug up and burned and scattered in the ocean. What did he think he was going to accomplish from that? Well, he doesn't believe in a resurrection. That could tell you that right there. Why would he do that? He doesn't believe in a resurrection. He didn't want this man resurrected. So if you cremate a person and you scatter them, it's impossible for them to be resurrected. But then he contradicts his own self. He didn't even believe there was a resurrection. He didn't believe that he even died. So if this is true, then this man must have been sitting up there laughing at that pope for digging up his bones and burning them, right? Surely that must be true. Well, maybe not. He's a gassy god, so can a gassy god actually think? You know, I'm trying to figure this thing out myself. Maybe you can help. But this is the kind of knowledge, Mother, that people come here with. And sometimes it gets even more far out than that. But given a chance and getting in the schools, and this is what I want more than anything, is for everyone when they come here to get involved in these classes. This is where Yahweh is going to lead you to Him. He's going to build your character to where you'll hate sin and hate what you see in the sin that is taking place right now in the world. That's why 8 million babies are being born defected. Their brains, the skull that holds their brain, their limbs, their organs inside, you know, they're born with it. And those of you, if you don't stay straight and keep your mind straight, worse things, Yahshua plainly tells you this, worse things than this is going to come upon you. You have them under control now? Yes. And keep them under control. Build your body in Yahweh's laws and they it will keep your mind working properly. These two drugs, marijuana and I forget the other one that they call, that they're trying to push now on the market. They're trying to push marijuana, which I've told you for years. I learned this when I was on the police department. We had gobs and gobs of information on the police department back when this was 40-something years ago, when I was actually a young man. We knew then that it actually wrecked your mind, and we'd deal with these people that their parents would, when we'd go out and talk to them, the parents would say, "Well, all he wants to do is just sit in his room," or, you know, he acts like he can't think, and so forth. Well, of course, he is hooked on marijuana. Well, they're adding another drug to that will actually double the chances of ruining their mind and taking it down even one step further. So they're wanting to get the people to where they're like zombies, and can't think. And this is the reason these things are being pushed. They're not trying to build the health of these people. They know how to build the health of the people. The scientists have told them what they're doing. The scriptures tells them what they're doing to cause the sickness and disease. It tells them what they're doing to cause the babies to be born with it. What will the babies ever amount to? 8 million a year. 8 million a year. You know, it's hard to imagine this number. But yet their lives, they stay alive for a certain time. Some of them do. Some of them live to be adults and still having to be treated like children. Some of them even spoon-fed. I remember when we would recommend them for the state school. When we'd pick them up, the parents said they couldn't handle them at home. So we would recommend the state school take them. Well, of course, the state school got overburdened. And they even released a bunch on the street that they hated to do so, but their money was cut down from the government, so they couldn't handle it. I remember when all this taking place over the history of Abilene. So they released a bunch of these on the street, and of course they was trouble, but nothing could be done. The jails couldn't hold them. They couldn't take care of themselves. And of course, the state school couldn't handle them because they didn't have the funds for it. They've created problems that they can't solve. The world is full of them. This Abilene is just a small city. Think of the larger cities. We used to take them in the patrol car, was given orders to do so, or we wouldn't have done it. But we would load them up by loads into patrol cars and take them east. We always took them east. And we tell them, don't come back to Abilene. Took a bunch of them to Beard and turned them loose. Yes. And told them, don't come back to Abilene. Go the other way. Well, that was just to get rid of them. They were overflowing Abilene. But think of the larger cities that's having trouble. And of course, the refugees add to that. We don't have to have refugees here, you know. I mean, we're going to build a wall now to keep them out. That'll solve the problem. It looks to me like they ought to give them a job to guard the river. That would be even better. Give all these refugees a job guarding this river. Give them a big salary. They'll guard it for you. Then you won't have to hire guards to guard the guards. You know, it's impossible, the problems we have right now. But they're not wanting to solve these problems. They're not wanting to solve the health problems we're having, or they would be going the other way instead of saying, take this marijuana and this other drug. I'll find out what it is. Oh, it was on the news. Maybe you marked it down.
Opium.
Did they add hash to that? I remember those two now on the police department. That's the nearest I ever got to them. I don't want to get near them. I don't want it blown on me. I don't even want to be downwind of it. Now, Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next lead. I love you.